James chapter 4. And tonight I'm going to call this message the Holy Spirit and His Purpose. The Holy Spirit and His Purpose. Last week we taught a message called The Power of the Holy Spirit. We're just now getting into a little bit of a series of messages about the Holy Ghost, the depth of the Holy Spirit, and all that He wants to do. And please know that the terms Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are synonymous. You know, I go between the two of them. I am a King James guy, and so I like to say the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. I grew up in churches. We sang the doxology, praise the Lord. How many of you remember the doxology? I love the doxology, amen. Praise God, and so I still am old school. I say Holy Ghost quite a bit. But over these last couple of months, I've been talking about the importance of making sure that we strip away all of our selfishness, that we seek God for Him, not just what we think we can get out of Him. God is more than just, you know, us trying to get our needs out of Him or just trying to get something that we want. Of course, He loves to provide our needs. God is abundant. He's generous towards us. But if we're talking about our heart and the conditions of our heart that we should have, you know, a desire to know Him, that we should desire the true riches before we just start seeking God to, you know, to provide money to us or just trying to seek God to, you know, get all that we want. We got to be careful with that because it's really easy to pursue something that God provides more than we pursue God Himself. And so we've been talking about that. And we're going to James chapter 4. We're going to start right there in verse 1. And we're going all the way back to where we started a couple months ago, back to this verse, which is kind of where it kicked off here a couple months ago about this topic. We've been talking about getting over ourselves. Amen. Make God bigger in your life. Amen. Tell God who He is. Pray and desire that His will is being done in your life. Pray and desire that His ways, you know, we talked about prayers that move God. And we saw how Solomon, he prayed and said, Lord, what I want most of all is a heart of wisdom and a heart of understanding. He said, I want to be a blessing to your people. And remember that the Lord had appeared to Solomon all the way back there and said, Solomon, you know, whatever you want, I'll give you. And that's what he asked for. And it said that that prayer pleased the Lord. Remember that? And the Lord said to Solomon, he said, because you have asked for wisdom and an understanding heart, because you didn't ask me for long life, because you didn't ask me for riches and honor, he said, I will provide those things you didn't ask, because you asked for the things that were the most important to the Lord. Amen. And so we've been talking about that, about making God bigger, about prayers that move God. We were talking about the Beatitudes. How many of you remember the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. And Jesus said, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, or those who are not arrogant, or spiritually arrogant. Or spiritual arrogance is when we believe that faith is all about us first. We got to be careful. You know, faith isn't all about us. It's about God. You know, we don't wake up each day and expect the Holy Ghost to follow us, right? We're not leading the Holy Spirit. He's leading us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't just seek God for personal gain, right? Amen. We don't use our faith as a fire extinguisher. We just think that our faith is all about putting out the fires in our life. You know, if we're not careful, we just think faith is all about just getting the challenges gone. Make sure that trials stop. And listen, God does deliver us from every affliction. Yes. Amen. But we're just saying we don't have a heart that says, well, I'm just after God, so my life gets easier. Or my life gets convenient. Or I got to make sure I just feel happy all the time. And if I don't feel happy, well, I'm not going to serve God. Well, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? If you become somebody that demands just to feel good all the time, I'll tell you what, the devil's going to make sure that you don't have very many good feelings to find. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 1, amen. Glory to God. I want God for God. You know, I'm not just trying to make all the challenges go away. Praise the Lord. And last week we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, and we asked this question, who is the power of the Holy Ghost for? Well, we saw this in the Word. We're going to see it again here tonight. The power of the Holy Spirit is for those that want Him. those that desire him, those that long for him, that's who the Holy Ghost is going to work with. Amen. Get your appetite up for the Holy Ghost. And go to James chapter 4 and verse 1. This is just review. This is where we started many weeks ago. James says this. He says, from where do these wars and fightings come from among you? Come they not from even your own lusts or your own desires that war in your members? Meaning things that we want, things of our preferences. He said, where do these fights come from? Or why are people unsettled or unpleased? Or we could say it this way, why even do believers become discontent? We got to be very careful in this life not to fall discontent. Things aren't always going to go your way. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials and troubles and tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, right? Amen. He said, I have overcome this world. And it says, doesn't it even come from your own lust? Or don't you have wars and fightings or discontentment on the inside? Because sometimes we just don't get what we want. Look at verse 2. He says, you lust. That means desire. It's not talking about sexual lust. It's talking about desiring things. Listen, that doesn't mean all things are bad. It doesn't mean that, you know, good things, you know, do come into your life. And thank God for them, right? But there's nobody that gets their way all the time. And actually, we don't want to get our way any of the time. We just want to get God's way. God will treat you better than you will treat you, by the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to remember that. Sometimes the devil is a deceiver. Well, he's always a deceiver. But sometimes one of his ways that he deceives is that he will come and tell you that the cost of following Christ will be bigger than the grace that you will gain. I'll tell you what, you will gain way more grace following God than any good thing you think you would have on your own without him. I'll tell you what, his grace is better than anything you can get on your own. Praise the Lord. He says, you lust, you desire, you have your own preferences, but yet you have not. You kill and desire to have. The word kill there doesn't mean like literally to take somebody's life, though I guess in its most extreme it could mean that. The word kill there is to be offended or to hate others with jealousy and envy, all right, because you desire to have what they have, whether it is money, whether it is influence, whether it is a position or a title or whatever the thing is that you want. You're going to see others that get it at times, and you don't, right? There's going to be times. I mean, at any given moment, there's somebody out there that has something that you would like to have or whatever it is. It says, and you know, you can't allow your heart to literally start hating and resenting them. Jesus said to look upon somebody and to hate them is to murder them already. So that's what this is a reference to. If you look and get jealous at people and wish that you had what they had, the Bible calls that killing them. Well, anyway, it says, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now, verse 3 then warns this. Look at verse 3. He says, you ask and yet you do not receive from God. Very interesting. He says, you ask, but you receive not. What causes us to fail to receive from God? Or we could say it this way, what is incompatible with God's understanding? You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. If we're not careful, we will just want stuff for us. You know, and we taught a message, you know, many weeks ago about healing is more important. Healing is for a greater purpose. You know, does God want to heal our bodies? Is God our healer? Is the Lord Jesus the same today, yesterday, and forever? Yes. Amen. He's a healer then. He's a healer now. He's got a healing covenant with us. But why do we want that? Do we want it just so our life gets easier, our life gets better? Well, that is fine. I mean, God wants the pain to go away too. But we got to remember that before we start desiring things for this body, we better understand the value of this body. The Lord's body is more important than this body. You know, and when we need strength and we need health, it's because we need those things to fulfill our place in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not just so I can have life easier, which God, absolutely, He is so good. He is a healer. But you know what I'm talking about? This is talking about our motives. Why do we want something? Why do we desire the promises of God? You know, do we desire them so we just get what we want? Or do we want Him to be glorified? Do we want His body provided for? Of course, I need strength and health in my body to pastor these two churches. That's the plan of God for my life. And so I'm going to need that health in my body. Amen. Because the Lord's body, you know, has a need. And so I want to fulfill that. It's not just for me. Amen. Amen. We got to think bigger, beyond ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's where we were. Glory to God. And let's make sure that we start to develop that heart that says, Lord, I want what You want. Lord, I want to be in Your plan. Lord, I want to be used to be a blessing to Your people. I want to serve in the body of Christ. Lord, use me. Have my life. Amen. Now go with me to John chapter 7. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37. Go to John 7, 37. The verse, not the airplane, right? Amen. Reverend Tony knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. Go to John 7, 37. How many of you remember this passage when Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles? Go to John 7, 37. And the Feast of Tabernacles was a very special festival. It was one of the three main festivals that God required the Jews to pilgrimage to Jerusalem for. There was three of them, right? And so this was the Feast of Tabernacles. And at this great feast, of course, it was an 8-day-long festival. And when we say festival, we think of the term in light of like an amusement park or a fairgrounds or something like that. But this was obviously for worship. It was for the nation of Israel to come together and worship God. And Jesus, of course, was there because He was required to be there. He was going to fulfill the law. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, so this was day 8, 8 out of 8, Jesus stood up and cried. That word cried there, it's not talking about tears. It's talking about shouting real loud. Jesus maybe elevated Himself. Maybe He stood on the steps or stood on something. And it said, Jesus said on that last day of the feast, Jesus stood and shouted, saying, if any man thirst, everyone say thirst. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. So that's awesome. And then verse 38, He says this. He says, he that believes on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Now, it's not talking about literally something coming up out of your stomach. All right? Jesus, when He uses the word belly, He's using it in reference to your spirit. Your spirit. You could say it this way. Out of your spirit, He said, shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what could He be talking about? Well, aren't you glad verse 39 takes a little pause and explains it? Notice the parentheses in your Bible. It's a pause. Literally, Jesus is speaking, and the Bible just kind of sets this verse aside to explain what Jesus was talking about. I love this. It says, but this Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on Him, what? Should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, we need to ask ourselves, living in 2026, has Jesus been glorified now? Yes, He was glorified 2,000 years ago. And so we know that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost has been given, right? Pentecost came, amen, the Holy Ghost was given, and it is true that there was rivers of living water that came out of the Spirit of His people. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand a little something about this feast that Jesus was at. Just a little understanding for us. The Feast of Tabernacles, like I said, it was 8 days. And the first 7 days, a priest would take a pitcher of water and would go up to the altar and pour water on the altar. And that water, it represented the Thanksgiving that the Jews had. They were grateful for the rains that created the harvest at the end of the season, right? They were showing the Lord, thank you for the rain, thank you for the harvest, right? And they would pour water on the altar, but it also represented the Holy Spirit, and it represented a spiritual renewal or a cry and a desire for God to renew his people, all right? But on the eighth day was the only day that the water ceremony was not done. All right, on the eighth day, they would not pour the water. Instead, they'd have a solemn ceremony, you know, desiring the renewal of God's Spirit amongst the Israelite nation. All right, so it was on that day when no one was carrying the water, when the priest was not carrying the water like he had done for 7 days, all of a sudden, Jesus stands up there and he shouts across the crowd. He says, if anyone is truly thirsty for God, if anyone is truly desiring the Spirit of God, let him come unto me and drink. And those that believe upon me, he said, they shall or should receive the Holy Spirit, and out of their spirit will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Glory to God. Think about the courage it took. Jesus just stood up and said, hey, there's no water today, but I'm here to tell you. There's some that is coming. I'm here to tell you. I'm the one that's going to deliver what the scripture prophesied from the get-go. Amen. Now, let's talk about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, all right? And I'm going to just sharpen this up as we go, all right? The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Go back up to verse 38, if you could. He said, out of your belly, out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. Which if you've studied the Bible, especially if you've gone back to Ezekiel chapter 47, remember in the Old Testament, there was the vision of Ezekiel chapter 47, and it showed the water coming out of the temple, and it was a river. And as he walked down that river, remember there was trees on the side and the fruit for healing. And as he started walking, it was ankle deep and then knee deep and then waist deep. And then it became waters that you could swim in. How many of you remember that vision? You know, everyone tell me this. That was the vision of the temple in the Old Testament. And of course, that will be fulfilled someday. But right now in the New Testament, what is the temple of God right here on this earth, everybody? We are the body. What? 1 Corinthians 6:19? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you and not of your own, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So it only stands to reason if there was a river proceeding from the temple of God in the Old Testament, there's a river proceeding from the temple of God in the New Testament, which now is interesting because you and I are that temple. And we should know and understand what that river of living water is and what it does. Well, I'm going to start taking you down that road. Now, a lot of times, the most easy and maybe the a very surface answer, people say, well, that's just a reference to speaking in tongues. Well, tongues is included, but I'm here to tell you it's more than that, all right? And we're going to talk about this. Here you go. Are you ready? The purpose of the Holy Spirit, in a very general sense, is to bring man's spirit and God's spirit into harmony. Literally, he said, out of your belly, because of the Holy Ghost, you shall flow rivers of living water. You are going to bring forth the power of God. Amen. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. Out of your spirit. This wasn't just talking about from the throne of God. This is telling you where God is going to do his greatest works in the New Testament. He's going to do those great works in you. He's going to cause his spirit to flow out of your spirit. So we know this, that the greatest purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring God and man together and make us compatible together. Make us compatible. Make it so that we're able to work together. To bring God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, and man's spirit into harmony. Or you could say it this way, to bring man over into the desires of God. Amen. And we're going to talk about this more specifically, all right? Or literally, we could say it this way. The Holy Ghost, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to make your spirit alive, to bring that life forth from you, glory to God. From you will flow the greatest force of God. From you. That's what Jesus is talking about. Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's start talking about this purpose of God very specifically. The number one purpose of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? Here you go. Boy, people get nervous. Like, oh no, what's he going to say? You know, if you've been around here long enough, you know that I'm not kooky or spooky or anything like that. All right? I'm going to teach you the word. All right? I'm not going to give you my opinions. I'm not trying to get you to embrace a certain personality. I want you to have the personality of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit. All right? Here's the number one purpose of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? To move man's heart and to change our minds. The number one thing the Holy Spirit does is to move our hearts and to change our minds. Absolutely. This is the greatest purpose. This is the greatest force and ability of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say it's the only ability of the Holy Spirit, but even beyond the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, even beyond miracles, even more valuable than speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit's ability to move men's hearts, to bring God's truth into the inside of our hearts, to change us from the inside out, and to get us thinking differently. People say, well, the greatest miracle is, you know, that God could do, maybe to heal the body or raise the dead or something. Listen, you know, or people say, well, the manifestations of the Spirit or speaking in tongues or a miracle, that's the greatest act of the Holy Spirit. All those things are just tools that point back to the purpose of moving man's heart and changing their minds. I'll tell you what, miracles are given to move the heart of man. Amen. Revelation in the Word is given to renew our minds. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the greatest purpose of the Holy Ghost is to move your heart, change your mind. That should be our number one desire as we seek Him. Lord, change my heart. Lord, bring light into my spirit. Father, I want to, whatever these rivers of living water are, Jesus promised it. It was through the coming of the Holy Ghost. Whatever those things are, I want that. I want to know what that is. I want to walk in it. Amen. Because out of you is going to come the greatest force of God that there is. Praise the Lord. God made alive your spirit. He was going to bring that life forth from you. Yeah, so that you will flow in the greatest force of God. To move man's heart, to change our minds. It's the greatest ability of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And Jesus said that He wanted that force to flow from you. Out of your spirit can and will. Is everybody listening now? Out of your spirit, of course, by the Holy Spirit. See, we sometimes think God's going to act independently of us. God cannot win one soul on this earth until you and I decide to participate. The Scripture says that we are co-laborers with Him. We build something together with Him. Are you here tonight? Amen. Glory to God. Out of your spirit, God will bring up directions for your life. Out of your spirit, He will give you prayer assignments. Out of your spirit, He'll show you who to pray for. He'll show you what to pray for. Amen. He will bring words out of your spirit. And yes, sometimes it may be even prophetic. Do you know that the simplest definition of prophecy means to console and exhort and comfort? That God can bring words out of you that will comfort somebody or that will feed somebody? How many of you know that God's used you like that before? You know, where you knew that words were coming out of you that somebody needed to hear. Amen. God's going to give you directions. He's going to give you words to speak. He's going to give you instructions. He's going to give you prayer assignments. He's going to give you God projects. God projects. You're sitting in a God project, right? You know, I mean, God has given me projects, you know, over the years, you know, to things that He wanted me to do and things to fulfill. I would have never known them apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. You and God are working together to build something together. You will receive leadings in your spirit. All of a sudden, God will put something in your heart. Hey, go do this for somebody. Hey, go say this. Hey, go bless so-and-so. I don't know about you. I want to walk with him on a moment-by-moment basis. Amen. He's going to show you somebody that needs to get born again. He's going to lead you to someone that's never heard about Jesus, or more, maybe they just need to hear some more. Amen. Lead them to the Lord. Glory to God. There's at times he may give you prophecies. There's things that he might put in you to give you songs. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to be used exactly the same. I'm just giving examples. He's going to show you things to come. He'll give you snapshots about your future, what you should be doing. He could give you snapshots about your children, your grandchildren. He could supernaturally wake you up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody that was in danger. Amen. Glory to God. I want to walk with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You're going to be set in a place where your influence, that through you in your life, God will move more hearts and change more minds because you desire the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I want God to change more hearts and more minds through my life. I want people, their hearts to be changed because they saw God on my life. And because I'm standing in the middle of God's will for my life. And I'm not just out living my life for myself. Amen. You'll be set in a place. Your job just might be that place. He'll set you in a place of employment because there's somebody there. Listen, the goal shouldn't be like, hey, God, give me the highest paying job. God, put me in the place that will change more hearts and minds for the kingdom of God. Amen. He will set you in a local church. He will set you with a pastor who's going to teach you, and in that church, you're going to grow in faith. He's going to set you with a church family that you serve one another. You humble yourself, and no job is too small for you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then through that, people's hearts and minds are changed. You know, hearts are moved. Minds are changed, moved towards salvation. People start moving towards obedience to God. All of a sudden, someone else wants to fellowship with God because they saw your fellowship with God. Are you here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. You'll be set with church leadership that'll tell you what you need, not what you want. Amen. You'll be given a church family to serve, and you'll be given a church family to promote. I'm not here to get something for myself. I'm here to promote you. You know what I mean by that? I want to see you go further and farther with God. Hallelujah. These are just some examples of how the Holy Ghost moves in our life. Now go to Romans chapter 5. See, the reason why I'm preaching this and why we're teaching this is so that we start to, you know, just grow a desire to walk with the Holy Ghost. Grow in a desire to put ourselves down and all of our personal needs and our trials and set them aside and just serve God with that singleness of heart. Amen. Not saying that you're not. Not saying that I'm not. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses. You know, I want you to get a desire, you know, for the Holy Ghost. I want you to have a desire to walk with him, you know, to know his plan every day. Hallelujah. I want you to have a desire that says, Lord, use my life. I'm just hungry for you. I desire you. See, when we align our purposes with his purposes, things are going to start moving. Things are going to start changing. That's when things get supernatural in our lives, when our purposes match with his. When we really just start wanting what he wants, that's when the power is going to get flowing. Amen. Look at Romans 5 and verse 1. Let's read these five verses and then we'll go back and take a look at them. Now, in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by what, everybody? Oh, let's say that with some gumption. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is anyone here tonight that you have peace with God through Jesus your Lord, right? Now, notice you were justified by faith. Now, in, you know, as opposed to being justified by the law. Remember, the whole topic of the book of Romans was faith versus law. The Old Testament, they had tried to be justified with God by following the rules of the law, right? And the whole purpose was to show them that you can't be justified by the law. You need to put your faith in the Savior, right? And so when he says being justified by faith, he's saying as opposed to being justified by the law. Your faith in Christ justifies you in the eyes of God. He says, therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus our Lord. In verse 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations works patience. Wait, what are we reading here? Verse 4, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. And look at verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who, everybody? The Holy Ghost, who is given to us. So what has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost? The love of God. Now, when it says the love of God, it also is referring to the love for God. All right, it's not just, sometimes we look at this verse and that says, we think it says, well, the love of God is in us, so we should just be nice to everybody, which is true, all right? But it's not just talking about that. It's talking about the ability to love God. Without the Holy Ghost, we do not love God. We cannot love him without the Holy Ghost. And now go back up there to verse 1. I want to start bringing you through this. I already started here in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so we're justified by faith, not by the law. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, could not justify man. Why? Think about this. You Bible scholars, actually, it's in the book of Romans, explains why is it that nobody can be justified in the eyes of God through the law of Moses? Because every human being at one point or another has what? Broken the law of Moses. Same, yeah, exactly, sin. Every man has sinned. Well, of course, Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, right? So the law was powerless to deal with man's true nature. Notice in verse 5, the Holy Ghost had to come and put the love for God in our hearts. Because a love for God was not there, because man, in our own natural heart, man's nature is to be a criminal. Man, sinful man, is a lawbreaker. Boy, you're all excited about that. You say, well, Pastor, we certainly don't amen at that. I know, I'm just playing with you. All right. We cannot be justified by the law because all of humanity is proven to be a law breaker, meaning breaking the law of God. How many in your life you've broken the law of God at some point in your life? Yes, we've all broken. People say, well, the Ten Commandments. Well, you do understand in the Old Testament, there's over 2,500 commandments. Right. Is that the ten were just the big ones, right? There was a lot of commandments back there, and there was no way that man could follow every one of them. That's the reason why God gave 2,500 commandments. He did that to prove that there's nobody who has the ability to live up to God's standard. There was only one who lived up to God's standard. His name was Jesus, and Jesus had to take our place so that the love of God could be given to us. Amen, that we would now have the ability to replace our criminal heart with a heart that loves God. Amen, amen. This is what this is talking about here. Amen. Man, sinful man without Christ is a criminal at heart. The nature of humanity is rebellious. You know that? And this is what God prophesied. Where is that back there in Ezekiel chapter 33 or 30? Where is that? Remember that? God said, I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And when I give you that heart of flesh, your heart will be tender to follow my commandments. You'll know you'll obey God, not out of law, but out of grace and love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? But without Christ, humanity's heart is a criminal heart filled with rebelliousness. Now notice, go down to verse 3. Go to verse 3 here in this passage. It says, and not only so, But notice this verse. Boy, this is an odd verse. But we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations or extreme trials works patience, and then patience experience and experience hope. But look at this. It says we glory in tribulations. We've got to rightfully divide this word. Because I've heard a lot of folks, I've heard, you know, denominations teach it, and they say, see, we should pray and ask God for troubles. Well, be careful about that. Yeah, I mean, and who does that? You know, like, well, no, thank you, preacher. I got plenty without asking for some. Or there'll be people that'll say, you know, they'll say this. They'll say, God gave me this problem. God did this to me to, you know, so I could glory in my tribulation. The way we would say this verse, we would say it like this in modern English. We excel in the face of trials. We excel in the face of trials. It's not talking about like asking God for a trouble so you can glory in it. Or even if you, you know, there's a lot of Christians, they believe, well, God gave me this trouble so I could then, you know, glorify the trouble, you know, in front of him. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about, since the love of God is shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you have everything you need to have all the hope that you'll ever need to excel in the face of a trial and a trouble. Amen. And also, see, a lot of Christians, you know, the other side of it is, you know, they want things so comfortable, so convenient. But notice, in those trials is where you learn patience. Now, it isn't because God brings the trial. It isn't the Holy Spirit bringing the trial. Jesus said the world will bring the trial. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. God is not the author of your troubles. You know that, right? The Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who could be against us? God's not against you. He's for you. It said, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not in Christ freely give us everything we need? All good things, it says. All right. So when we rightfully divide the word, when we study the word, it's talking about we are the ones that should excel. Meaning, we're the ones that if we're walking with the Holy Ghost, we excel in trials because we're walking with him and we start to learn the lessons that we need. That we have all the hope that we'll ever need to get through. We're the ones that believe that a brighter day is coming. Yes. Listen. We're the ones that are believing that God's going to show up. God's going to provide the needs. God's going to be there to break the affliction. And even if the absolute worst thing on this earth happens to a Christian, to live as Christ, to die as gain, amen. And Paul said this, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Now, again, we want to fulfill the plan of God on this earth. But even natural death on this earth does not make us afraid anymore. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? So it says, not only so, we glory, we excel in tribulations. Because we know that we have the patience to outlast that trouble. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. That you have the patience. You have what's in you can endure a lot more than what this world can throw at you. I can do all things. Can you bring up Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified Bible? I'm going to give you a workout back there. I want this verse. This is not in my notes. This is just playing on the inside of me. Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified really, really brings it home. And man, I tell you what. I wish more and more Christians would get this kind of mentality. Praise the Lord. He says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything. Through him who infuses inner strength into me, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen. We should have just read that at the beginning of service and called it a day because I tell you what, there's enough power in that. Meditate on that for a few weeks. Memorize that verse. Speak that verse every day. Meaning what the Bible is saying, of course, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. What lives in you is a greater patience and endurance than anything this world could throw at you. And so when you're walking with the Holy Ghost, he reminds you of that. Listen, don't be afraid. you know, the Bible says, you know, Paul told the Corinthian church, he says, you're going through every trial or every struggle is just common to man. Everything you're facing.
Are you here?
It's just common. It's just commonplace for humanity. Are you here? Praise the Lord. We're the ones that excel. Go back over to Romans 5:3, and then we can drop down to 5:4. It says, you know, tribulation works patience, and patience works experience. How many of you know we need experience? Listen, God isn't setting these things up just so you get experience. He knows the world and the devil will do that all on their own. All right? Patience works experience, and experience brings you hope. All right? What is it when we have the hope of God? And now go to verse 5. Hope makes not ashamed. God says it always looks good on you to be in hope. It's always a good thing. Why? Because the love of God is put in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Do you know that this is actually threefold, the love of God? It's the love for God. It's the love to be able to treat others with love. But it's also a revelation of how much God loves you. When we know how much God loves you, you aren't afraid at what the world throws at you. Amen. So it's, yeah, it's the love for God. It's the love that we share with others, but it's also a revelation of how much we are loved by Him. Amen. And because you're loved by Him, you have hope that never makes you ashamed. Glory to God. Hope just says this, it'll always be a better day. There's always tomorrow. Amen. There's always going to be a brighter day. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Glory to God. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is my protector. Amen. We should not be so worried about what gets thrown at us in this world. What's in us is far more enduring than anything in this world. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? Praise the Lord. So this is what we need to know, all right? Praise God. We know that the Holy Ghost put the love of God, the love for God in us to destroy the criminal's heart, meaning to erase that, to take your old nature, to give you a new nature. How many of you are born again here tonight? Then you don't have that criminal heart anymore. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes to us, melts our heart so we can conform to Him, to be tender-hearted, submissive, yielding to Him, moving our hearts, changing our minds, so that we become what so few never do. And that's willing. Willing. When you walk with the Holy Ghost, He will move your heart to a place of ultimate willingness. There is no task too small for you when you're walking with the Holy Ghost. There is no trial too hot for you. There's no problem bigger than God. Amen. When you're walking with the Holy Ghost, see, the greatest force of the Holy Ghost is when He changes your heart and your mind to think like God. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him that has loved us. Praise the Lord. You know, and I already quoted Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who or what could stand against us? Philippians 4:13 in that Amplified Bible. He said, I'm up to anything, equal to anything, ready for everything, according to that personal strength that Christ infuses in me. Hallelujah. That is what is on the inside of you. That is what the Holy Ghost was sent for. Amen. The Holy Ghost moves upon us to make us willing, to bring our desires in alignment with the Father's, to destroy the nature of rebelliousness or lawlessness. Man's nature is lawless. We want to do things our way. We'll do whatever it takes to do things our way. But when you're walking with the Holy Ghost, He don't let you get away with that anymore. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will move upon us and within us, and He will make any and all forms of rebellion ugly to us. Ooh, I'm going to give you some ideas here. When you're walking with the Holy Ghost, when He's moving your heart, changing your mind, When you're walking with the Holy Ghost, any and all forms of rebellion make you feel dirty. It makes it, oh, yeah. Here, let me give you some examples of things that, listen, we've all been there. Have you ever done something, acted in a way that you just, it just grieved the Spirit of God on the inside and just made you feel spiritually dirty? You know what I'm talking about? That's what Jesus said over there. And what was that? Matthew 5:4. He said, blessed are those that mourn. Literally, you know, if you study it out, he's saying, blessed are those that mourn or actually are saddened when they sin against God. When he says, blessed are those that are mourning, in that verse, he's not talking about someone who's died. It has nothing to do with death of a loved one. He's talking about mourning over our own sin and that feeling like you've been kicked in your gut. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It should bother us to sin against God. But here's some forms of rebellion that sometimes we don't think of, but we all fall into it. We've made these mistakes. And again, we're not going to bat 1,000 with this, but let's just make the batting average better, right? How about bitterness? Bitterness. Oh. Karen said, oh boy, all right. Bitterness. How about complaining about situations in life? Here we go. Complaining, hating your situation in life, hating your job, you know, hating, you know, people around you or just hating your circumstances, always finding something wrong with your job or your marriage or your church. We got to be careful because complaining is a form of rebellion. Remember the Old Testament? Remember those Jews? How many remember? Because they remember, how many of you remember Numbers chapter 13 and 14? They fell dead. Where is that verse? Where is that verse? Can you try Numbers 14, 28? I'm going to shoot in that neighborhood. Numbers 14, 28. Let's try this one. This is what God said to them after they complained. 27? Oh, I was close. I was close. Draw back to verse 27. Numbers 14, 27. Well, this is a great day to be sitting on the overhead. Here I'm throwing all these curveballs all over. This is what God says to them. He says, how long should I bear with this congregation who complain against me? I have heard their complainings of the children of Israel, which they complain against me. Go to the next verse, verse 28. That's a perfect verse because it sets it up. And say to them, this is God's word to them, these complainers, after all that God did for them, he fed them manna from heaven, water out of the rock, led them across the Red Sea, delivered them out of Egypt, and actually, God's done more for us than he did for them. He's given us Jesus. We have the blood of the Lamb, and yet we complain. Oh, Lord, forgive me. All right, it's time to have an altar call. Oh, I hate when I catch myself complaining. I'm right now complaining about complaining. Say unto them, these complainers, remember they said, oh, we're just going to die out here. We're never going to make it. Remember all the stuff they were saying? And the Lord said, I heard them. I heard the complaining. Say to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'll do to you. It wasn't God's idea for them to drop dead in the wilderness. It was their idea. Because that's what they said in the midst of their complaining. They said, we're not going to make it. We're going to drop dead out here in the wilderness. God isn't enough. That's what complaining is. It's bitterness. And it's a form of rebellion. And he called it rebellion. Are you here? Here's another form of rebellion. How about being offended or offense? Perhaps the most common form and most dangerous form of rebellion is being offended at people. Always mad, always having a grievance with somebody, maybe you work with, maybe a family member. Oh, Lordy, it is a form and a dangerous form of rebellion. To always have a grievance with somebody, always being easily upset, always feeling overlooked, always feeling like, you know, you're too good for this or too good for that. Be careful. Are you here tonight? Are you here? Listen, we all walk through that. We all walk through that. Learn to put offense down. It's just, The Holy Ghost will you know move in your heart. And when you've been offended, it's ugly. It's ugly. And we've got to learn to confront these things in our own selves. Listen, it doesn't mean God says you're ugly. I'm just saying that action of being offended is ugly to God. Are you here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. What about disobedience? What about people that hear the word and simply refuse to do it? Well, as a pastor, I see this all the time. I talk to people all the time that say, Pastor, you know, I know so-and-so. I'm not forgiving them. You don't know what they did to me. I'm not forgiving them. Well, when you say that you refuse to forgive somebody, you're saying that you're willing to disobey the word of God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. You know, people that say, well, I refuse to tithe. I know the Bible says it. Well, you're in disobedience then. Well, I refuse to do this. I refuse to serve. You're in disobedience. And the church in our modern America is getting very comfortable with disobedience. We better be careful about that. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's rebellion. What about criticism? How about talking behind people's back? What about gossip? What about talking behind the back of authority? Maybe your boss at work, maybe your spouse, maybe your pastor, maybe your church. If we dishonor these covenant relationships, we start to criticize everything, be very critical, I'll tell you what, that's a form of rebellion. Oh, praise the Lord. How about sexual impurity? Boy, we're really dealing with some stuff here tonight. Sexual impurity. I'm telling you, it's maybe the greatest form of rebellion in America today. Whoa. Listen, these younger generations, you know, I'm telling you, I don't know if no one just told them, you know, you're not supposed to have sex without marriage. Do you realize that the number one sin that caused angels and man to fall is sexual vice? Pornography runs rampant. I'll tell you what, if you knew what the devil was planning, you know, to destroy your life through that stuff, you wouldn't want to touch it. See, that's dirty to the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? He's not trying to put that on you to make, you know, to condemn you, but to move your heart, to say, I don't want anything to do with that. Basically, when the Holy Ghost is moving on your heart and in changing your mind, the old life is no longer an option anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? When I got saved, I just like to believe I got gloriously saved. I knew that it was no longer an option to keep walking in that drunkenness. I knew it was no longer an option to keep talking in that profane mouth. I knew that it was no longer an option to have premarital sex. I knew that it was no longer an option to smoke, drink, and, you know, do the drugs that I was doing and all that stuff. I just knew it was no longer an option. And I had to confront those things in my life 100%. You know, and the Holy Ghost moved upon my heart and changed my mind for those things. Amen. And then, not only did it change my life, he gave me, you know, a desire to see people get saved. He gave me a desire to serve in the local church. I just started by cleaning tables. Praise the Lord. Clean tables in the house of God. King David said this. He said, it is better to be a greeter at the front door of the house of the Lord. Right? Remember when he said that? Yeah. He said, I'd rather be a greeter at the front of God's temple or God's house than anywhere else. You know, David, here he was, used mightily of God. He said, I'd be happy if the Lord just called me to stand at the door and be a greeter. He'd just be fine with that. Hallelujah. Are you here? Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is always leading us to keep our hearts clean. Are you here? See, you thought I was going to go just straight for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let's just, you know, get right to that. Well, we're going to get to that. But we got to know what the purpose of the Holy Ghost. What is his greatest purpose? Listen, I'm telling you, praying in the Spirit absolutely will help you to hear his voice so that he gets his way in your life. Amen. A lot of times Christians, they refuse, you know, what the Bible says about praying in tongues, because they've just been sold this idea that it's some form of fanaticism. No, it's actually a devotion time with God. It's you and him building something together. And the devil will muddy the waters and try to prevent God's people from ever walking into that. Say, Pastor, You believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. Say, Pastor, do you pray in other tongues as you pray to God? Absolutely. I wouldn't know where I would be without it. Thank God for it. You know, I tell you, it's a tremendous benefit. But as you'll notice, if you attend this church, the scripture gives us clear boundaries of when and where. Notice I'm not just up here in front of the church speaking in tongues and trying to woo people or get their, you know, impress anybody. Now, of course, there is a manifestation of the Spirit called tongues and interpretation. That's as the Spirit wills. That's happened here a few times over the years or whatever. We certainly welcome it. But I'm here to tell you, I do not act out in the flesh. I don't believe in trying to perform or trying to make certain things happen just to try to impress people. The thing that will change your life the absolute most is the Word of God. The Word of God above and beyond all. And the Holy Ghost is here to just help us to understand the Word. Are you here? The Holy Ghost is just making sure that our old ways are no longer an option. Amen. When this becomes our desire, when you start longing for this, Father, I'm hungry for the rivers of living water to pour out of my life. Father, I desire to know your love. Father, I desire the plans and the directions that you have. Lord, show me, you know, the lives that I am to influence. Lord, set me in the place that is best to help, you know, my life be an influence to change hearts and change minds for the gospel of Christ. Amen. Listen, if somebody is praying or speaking in tongues just to impress a crowd, I'm telling you, they're abusing it. You know, having that devotion time with God and praying, pouring out your heart. You know, can you bring up 1 Corinthians 14:14 for us again? And again, I just kind of sprinkle this in because there is something greater available to every single one of us. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:14, let's bring that up and we'll end right here. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind does not understand." See, that's very similar to what Jesus was talking about. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Your brain doesn't get it, but you're praying out of your spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit. Can you bring that up in the Amplified? It'll really help us. It just makes sure that we understand. It puts it in context. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive." All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gives you a language that your brain does not understand, but you're praying before God. Can you bring up verse 2 in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:2 in the Amplified? It just really helps us to understand what's going on with it. "Tongues are not scary if you use them appropriately. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to people, but to God." So when people say, "Pastor, you know, I don't know about you, and you pray in that tongues business," well, if you've got a problem with me talking to God, you got to ask yourself why. Talking to God is not a problem. I was told in the denomination I grew up in that praying in tongues was talking to the devil. But the Bible says it's talking to God. "For nobody, no person understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit," the one who's praying in an unknown tongue, "utters secret truths, hidden things not obvious to the understanding." This is when we pray for things that we don't know. Glory to God. Now notice, these things are not hidden from God. They're hidden from us, you know. But before we even get to that, before we even consider what praying in tongues is and what it does, we first have to have our motives right. That our heart is first established, that we want our hearts moved. We want our minds changed. We want to know the Word of God. Amen. We want to walk with the Holy Spirit, you know, before we get to that. But I'm here to tell you, that does exist. And that is real. But again, unfortunately, there are, you know, some that abuse it and try to make it do things that the Bible says it shouldn't. But I'm here to tell you, and if you want to be hungry and fellowship with the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, that is a great advantage. It's a great advantage. Did you get some help here tonight? Yes. So who is the power of the Holy? What is the power and the purpose of the Holy Ghost? He is there for those who hunger and thirst for him. Jesus says, if you're thirsty for this, you got to thirst for it. You know, people that just say, I can take it or leave it. Well, then I'm going to tell you, you've already made up your mind. You've left it. You've left it. Now, I'm not talking about just tongues now. I'm just talking, you know, we got to desire and crave and want to walk with the Spirit of God. And that's why we've got to talk about those motives first before we start talking about his gifts and whatnot. Amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Amen. You're justified by faith. The love of God has been put in your hearts. You can love God. You can have a heart that just melts and is tender and is yielded and willing. When you're walking with the Holy Ghost, he'll make you willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, I believe that's the desire of everyone here tonight. Father, we want to walk with the Spirit of God. We want to be willing. We want to be obedient. We want to be completely yielded to you. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We want to be submissive, tender-hearted, conforming to you. Lord, set us in a place where our lives can be used the most for the kingdom of God. Father, that's what I want. Lord, set me in the place, regardless of title, regardless of prestige, regardless of notoriety. Father, I want to be in the place that I'm used the most for the kingdom. Father, I believe that that's the heart prayer of everyone here tonight. Father, set us in the right place. Show us, guide us, lead us. Show us things to come. Father, we're not going to be bitter. We're not going to be offended. We're not going to be complainers. Thank you, Lord God. We're not going to be critical. We're not going to be putting others down. We're not going to be disgracing our spouses. We're not disgracing our spiritual leadership. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your kindness to us. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we dismiss, just ask yourself this question. Am I born again? Have I made Jesus the Lord of my life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're saved, you know it. And if you're here tonight, if you don't know that, if you're unsure about your spiritual destiny, then don't leave here till you get sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to be saved, I'm just simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead everybody right here tonight in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ask him into your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone that you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior? If you've never called upon him and you'd like to do so, if that's you, just lift your hand. Is there anyone? Father God, I don't see any hands, so I believe that we're walking with you. We've received salvation. Father, we want to be closer to you. We want to follow you, walk with you every single day. We desire the Holy Spirit. We desire him. We're thirsty. And Lord, we just bless you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. The question is, are you going to desire him? Are you going to want him? That's who he's looking for. Let's praise him and we'll be dismissed. Father, we glorify you tonight. Thank you that your blessing is upon each one. Father, we thank you. Your angels go before us. No evil befall us, no plague near our dwelling. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.